welcome Holy Spirit, because without Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even be able to do this. Without His grace, His favor, and our mutual thanks to John and Ann, who have blessed us with all of this communication and learning process. We're just very, very grateful. The House of Prayer is saying thank you. Each individual, I'm sure, when we have a genuine celebration at some point back in Chicopee, I think we'll probably lift them up over our shoulders and carry them around the room. Do I get any amens?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
I want to give you what was pressed into my heart this morning. And at 6 a.m. sharp, I heard, "I am in full control," says the Lord. And I responded that I was still struggling with some challenge in my chest. And he said, I did what I knew how to do every step of the way to get the victory. And he said to me, "Holy Spirit is on the job and there's a work going on," basically. But I did sleep, and I want to give the glory to the Lord for that. He reminded me that sometimes when we're going through a test, whatever that kind of test may be, we have the feelings that we're totally alone. And they are feelings. They're not to be denied. They're real. Sometimes the war games are real. And we wonder if the Lord is really aware of what's going on. So I just want to encourage each of you, when you feel alone and you have that pressure that says no one really can comprehend where you're coming from. I spoke to Gail this morning, and she reminded me about Bob Jones writing a letter and how he was under pressure tactics and lies and deceptions and, you know, your life isn't worth it. Nothing is going well. Nothing is going on. And I really said to the Lord, "What is it that you have to say about all this?" And he brought me to Proverbs 29, verse 25. So it's basically saying, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. Just think about that for a moment. The fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Well, with all of the challenges that we're living in this incredible time, keep the awareness that you are safe. Obviously, sometimes we don't feel safe, but the Lord guarantees that if we're trusting in man to supply, we're going to fail. But if we trust in the Lord, He will keep us safe. Last night, I got to see the rest of the movie about Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And I just want to remind you that tomorrow we will be celebrating what happened to them thousands of years ago, actually. And I think the most intriguing part for me was not the Passover meal, even though that was exciting. But what was exciting was when they all gathered coming out of Egypt, they carried the bones of Joseph, their ancestor who had actually saved the world and the nations at that time. And they were all just celebrating. And I'm thinking, you know, your mind says, It's only bones. Well, you know what? The bones of our Lord are with the Father. So when we celebrate his Passover, there's a resurrection. Joseph has not risen yet, that I know of. But it took 400 years for him to be carried out of the land of slavery. And sometimes we think that a week, a 2 or 3 weeks of confinement are hopeless for us. But if you look at that word again, the fear of man will prove to be a snare or a trap. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. The other part that he pressed me in is actually about obedience. So he pressed me to look several scriptures about obedience. And you'll find that in 1 Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You see, Samuel had to obey every step of the way, and the scripture says his word did not fall flat. It always produced. Then in Matthew 7:21 is a word that's pretty, let's say, awakening to us. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That means obedience. Luke 8:21 confirms it. So I want to take you now to the book of Luke. St. Luke in that 21st verse, again, I want to repeat it. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So that kind of takes the sunshine out of this bright day that we had in New England. But he reminded me that that's because he wants us to mature so that we can hear him. And sometimes we hear him, but we don't recognize him. Sometimes we don't obey because we have a better agenda or we have a better idea. So he reminded me that part of that problem is worry and fear tactics. And right now, when you go out into the public anywhere, you see an array of people in all kinds of pressure tactics. And you don't need to go very far from your home. Just a few hundred feet and you can see it. So he reminded me in Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. This is our Lord speaking. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." Well, you say, wait a minute. I want to stay alive so I can do for you. But he says, don't worry about it. "What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Well, if you listen to some of the testimonies in the past few weeks, some people have no value in themselves. And they believe the accuser that there is no value to them. But the Lord says, you are more valuable than the birds of the air, and you should get a new opinion about yourself. Who of you, by worrying, verse 27, can add a single hour to your life? Well, that kind of brings a task to all of us. When we're so focused on the fear tactics that enter our minds, we become obsessed with it and we lose our joy. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Well, now I want to give you a little bit of a testimony. On this past Sunday, there were some people in my entourage that were reminding me that we didn't have any palms. And it was true. And at one time, that was very precious to me. So I just kind of laid it out before the Lord, and I said, you know, Lord, if you want us to have palms, then you're going to provide. Well, guess what? Right behind me is my niece giving me something that I could have never, never conceived. All gorgeous palms. Notice the lilies, which the scripture speaks of. And it was provided because she delivered it. We didn't have to go shopping. We didn't have to worry. It was brought to us. And when I walked in the house today, my cousin, which is his, her mother, said, look what God has done. Now, I'm being honest. This girl has got a lot of challenges, but she went out and bought this for her aunt and I. And it was quite probably surprising to see how God would provide palms in a form of a beautiful cross. So I put it up here tonight and I said, I'm going to remind the family, if something is special that you didn't get yet, don't give up. Maybe you ask and didn't believe fully, but maybe you need to be a little bit more patient. It took until Tuesday for the palms to catch up from Sunday, but they're here. So much for a praise report. Verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Ah. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need of them. But 33 is probably the prize of all this verse, these verses. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I want to reflect a little bit about watching God perform what you and I could probably never do. I've never seen palms so well decorated. It's certainly going to be sitting on my front door. And only God will probably know why it's there. But you know, I pray it advertises God's grace to us and to each of you. These are sentimental things. Palms are a reminder of the entrance of the Lamb of God to the city of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And I could go in to give you all that scripture. But what I really would like is that it would be personal to you. See, this Passover was also kind of special, that we will be celebrating tomorrow night at 7. John and Ann have opened up the door so that we can rejoin tomorrow night. And, you know, is it going to be what we used to have? Absolutely not. But I'm not totally aware of what he's going to do. But I think there's one thing in common with the original Passover. Because I was watching the movie, and Joshua, of course, in the movie, has lost his girlfriend to a real bad man. And he's loved her from the time he was a teenager. And he's got his pail of blood from the lamb that's been slaughtered, and a pole with some rags on the top. And he's kind of coming to this rich man's house, who has literally forced his girlfriend to marry him. And she's excited to see him, and he comes back and he taunts him. Don't you dare put any blood on my door. I am not a real Israelite. So he ponders. He ponders for several minutes, kind of hides himself in back of a bush and waits. Then he comes back in front of the house after the lights probably go down. And he takes and he puts the blood on the top of the doorpost and along the sides of the door, because he doesn't want her to be killed. Then you see the next level where Moses is celebrating with the woman that brought him up, his sister. And Joshua comes back because he knows it's safe in the house. I'd like to remind you that tomorrow will be a time of commemorating what happened on that particular day. And I don't want to go to the scriptures right now, but I want you to stop worrying as best you can and make the decision that you're not going to bow to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind will concentrate on not the virus, but on the Lord who protects us from the virus. Not upon the tormentor who lets you not sleep at night because you're worried about your family. It would be wiser to claim the blood of Jesus over their doorposts so that their house will be safe. And if you declare it out of your lips, just imagine what those angels are ready to go and do. Those angels are waiting. Hebrews 1, verses 7 and 14, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for whomever declares the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord says, if you put blood on the doorpost, if you put blood over the house, the entire family will be safe. You see, there are solutions that can come out of your mouth And there is fear that can also come out of your mouth. All I can tell you is James chapter 3 says you have the power to declare what you want to happen. If you keep your mouth shut and your emotions all over the place, you're going to shatter your tomorrows. And they will be quite uncomfortable. But if you open your mouth and release the word of the Lord, those angels are going to be so busy and so happy. And you know what? The end result is you're going to have a family that will be safe. You say, well, we've prayed all these years. And a lot of people went home. They passed away ahead of schedule. Well, the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We have knowledge. I'm giving you what I know. But you know, I'm not the only teacher. There's a lot of other teachers out there. And I want to just say to each and every one of you that as we prepare for tomorrow's feast, which will last a week, I truly believe that as the days go forth, that by Resurrection Sunday, there will be more pressure applied to the dark forces that are trying to destroy not only this nation, but many nations in the world. I believe that the solutions have already been brought forth, but the spirit of darkness is ruling in many hearts in our nation. Tonight, I want to just acknowledge Ron for sending me a beautiful report from two doctors, and it made me force my, let's say, talents to read this four-page report all in French. And I'm not usually reading French lately, so I had to do double takes. But the end result was that there are thousands of tests that have been done on the new meds that they've developed that are 50 years old and more. And the man who did this did it with 500 people. He didn't lose anybody. They were all on that special chloroquine. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But the bottom line is, I truly believe there's a dark force letting people die because they're too old to produce anymore. And it's happening in many nations. It's happening because the people that are involved, they just want to eliminate the old. We know the Third Reich did exact same thing. We know that many in different countries have one goal in mind. Those that are in authority control the families, the nation, and the systems that are out there. And I'm not accusing them, because some of them got voted in. And it was the will of the people at that time. But I believe, like the victory for the Israelites, there will be an awakening to all those that are in bondage, as well as the Israelites of today. You and I are children of Abraham. Yes, we've been engrafted into the body of Christ and the Jewish family. And you know what? There's not a Jewish family that would not celebrate the Passover tomorrow, because they remember where they came from. We need to also remember where we came from and to pray for those that maybe didn't have the revelations we had, and to intercede for them. And so I'd like you to bow your heads right now, respectively, and just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for your coordinates to come into the hearts of those that are looking at these believers throughout the land. Lord Jesus, you're the only one that can activate the angels to go forth to the north, south, east, and west, and to the nations that hear this message, that they will know that someone's interceding for them, that they will come to life And there will be victories on this Resurrection Sunday that's coming up in a few days. I give you praise, Father, as each of us humble ourselves and wait for your instructions, and we will obey. We will pray for the directions that you give us, whatever they may be, whatever time it may be, whatever clock time it may be, morning, noon, or night. We are available to you to intercede as needed until our country is freed, until the earth is freed from the darkness, and the things that have been prepared to destroy us will fall back on those with a wrong heart and a wrong motive. We release forgiveness to them, just like Jesus did from the tree. We ask that you hold no sin against them, but that you awaken them to the Redeemer, the one who went to the cross for each of us, and to cover themselves with the blood of Jesus, as we have done, and expecting mighty signs and wonders as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.